From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette, and you're listening to Idaho Matters. Brenda Stanley is a writer and journalist. In fact, she spent more than two decades as a news anchor and investigative reporter at the NBC affiliate in eastern Idaho, and her work has been recognized by the Scripps Howard Foundation as well as the Hearst Journalism Awards. And today, we're lucky enough to have Brenda join us to talk about her latest novel. It's called The Still Small Voice. Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, it is a thrill for me to talk with you. And in full transparency, we should let our audience know that you and I met 25-some years ago in Idaho Falls. I was fresh out of college, my very first job as a TV news reporter, and we happened to to meet on the job. So so here we are all of these years later. So it's really nice to talk with you. I feel like it's just yesterday. I do not know where all the time went.
Say that all the time, and yes, I agree.
Because when it was funny, when we met, you had, well, and you still do, you had five kiddos, but they were all little. Two sets of twins.
Yes, yes. And now my children have children, and that happens. And I've got a granddaughter now that's 15 years old, which is just...
Oh, my gosh.
I know, it's hard to believe. Hard to believe she's driving, and yeah, it's been... The time just, it does, it absolutely flies by. And you had absolutely no children at that point. Now yours I watch, and you know, it's just crazy.
I my oldest will be 15 next week. So yeah. That's how fast it goes. I know. You know, Brenda, as I mentioned, I mean, you spent more than 20 years as a journalist, but when did you actually start writing novels?
I started writing novels long before I became a journalist. I was very young when I wrote my first novel. I was 17, and I was at the time living in eastern Utah, and I was a young mother at the time and was reading a lot because that's really all I had to do back then. Did not have a TV set at the time, didn't have really any way of entertaining myself while taking care of my young daughter. And books saved me. I absolutely believe that. I would read incessantly because it was just something that I really could escape into and enjoy. And then with that, I started writing, and I wrote my first novel when I was in that situation. Carried it around with me for years, decades actually, and it was published in 2010. And that, it took a long time, mainly because I just did not even seek publication. But in that span of years, I ended up going back to school, and that helped with my confidence, even though I was, in journalism, not in creative writing. The writing itself was something that I just enjoy. I think that's why I really leaned toward journalism, was because I enjoyed the writing and the research that goes into both news and in the novels that I write.
So that's interesting to me, because I'm curious, do you like writing novels or... better than, you know, that everyday, you know, news story that you have, because that's just a real churn. You know what I mean? Like there's, as you mentioned, there's not a lot of creativity in having to, you know, write out a news story.
There is obviously a big difference, but yet there are similarities as well. I enjoyed the news aspect because it was real. It's what was happening. You know, I enjoyed being able to relay information that was happening to the people in the community. And that I thoroughly enjoyed. With fiction, it is completely, so in your mind, and it's such a personal thing as well. You know, with the news, it's the facts, you know, laying out hopefully in an interesting way what's going on. But it is, you have to really be factual and make sure that those, you know, those words are correct. With fiction, obviously you're making up a lot and using your, you know, creative juices to tell this story. However, with fiction, with the novels, I have to be very careful that I am accurate, that I'm telling the story in a way that's realistic and fair. And that is very important to me.
So let's talk about this latest novel. Now, if I'm correct, this is what, your sixth published novel?
It is. Yes, it is.
Okay. So it's called The Still Small Voice. Set the story up for us.
The story is about a woman who is summoned home when her father is dying of cancer. She's been estranged from her family for many years. But when he calls her back, she reluctantly returns home. And her initial, the reaction from her family is lukewarm. They still hold the very strict religious beliefs that have cast her out. And yet during a private moment with her father, he tells her about a murder that happened decades before, but that the woman in prison for that murder is innocent and that he has proof. And he needs her help specifically to get this woman free. And so she starts on this journey. She is a journalist, and she, however, is out of work at the moment. And so she does this as a favor to her dying father, but also can't understand why it is her responsibility to do this. And he slowly is, you know, getting less and less cognizant as he's dying. And so she is having to find the clues and find her way through this on her own, researching and finding out things that happened in her family's past, in her past, and why eventually he asked specifically for her help in doing this.
You know, I'm where did this idea kind of come from? Because the book's set in Utah, right?
Yes.
She is, you know, very strong religious background, you know, her family holds, you know. So did this come from any of your, you know, personal experiences or observations? And I'm not talking about, you know, the witnessing of a murder,
but
really those deeper issues surrounding religious, in particular in a place like Utah.
Absolutely. I feel very strongly that you should write what you know. And even though, you know, the story has nothing to do with me or my life, where it's set is very personal to me. I was, I went to junior high and high school in the very area that this novel is set. I was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints for many years, but my family left the church when I was in junior high. So I understand and have lived around that culture. That is one of the reasons why I decided to set it there, is because I understood it and I knew that. But this, the novel really is more about the powerful emotion of shame and how that is used in many different aspects of life. And, you know, we talk about strong emotions and, you know, things like hate and greed and love rise to the surface, but the emotion of and shame just has such a powerful impact on human beings and what they do. They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to look bad. And so that is used often. And that's really where the story came from. The setting and all that came because I had, you know, witnessed some things growing up that made it an easier place to set the novel. But the main thing was trying to tell this story about how powerful shame can be.
And, you know, the thing that I'm, as I'm reading this, is is absolutely that, right? This whole idea around shame. And I think in particular, in how, when I was raised, the time that I was raised, and then you put religion into it. And there, I think sometimes there is, it's almost a way of controlling someone, right? Is if you can shame them around religion, then there are so many things that come out of that, right? Like, well, if you don't do X, Y, and Z, then you're not going to go to heaven. If you do this, then you are. And it's fascinating to me as I've gotten older and I'm raising my own children, where I'm very cognizant of, can you have religion and can you have faith and not have shame?
Right.
And that's been so interesting to me to walk that line. And I kind of feel that when I'm reading this book. I mean, were you cognizant of that when you were writing it?
Yes, I do. I believe that followed through the entire story. It was something that, like I said, I've seen and witnessed that and felt it. You know, everybody's had that feeling at some point, and just how powerful that was. Really, yeah, it did. It sat with me. And that's why I felt like it was a good way to take this book as far as this mystery and, you know, her conflicting ideas and how she's approached this. I felt it was a really good way to set the story.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting too that there are so many people who leave religions, right? And it's not just the Mormon faith. I mean, it happens in every faith, right? People leave, and no matter how far away I think you get from that religion, if you were raised in a organized religion, I always say there's still pieces and parts of you that will always be attached to it. And Madison, the main character in the book, I mean, here she lives in Las Vegas, right? I mean, you can't get farther away, culture-wise, right, than where she was raised. But there are still little pieces of her that are, whether she recognizes it or not, that are attached to the faith that she grew up in.
Exactly. I mean, I've spoken to quite a few people, and some that I haven't had contact with for decades, that I went to high school with and so forth. And it's an interesting discussion. I've thoroughly enjoyed hearing their perspective on this. And yes, that is the one thing that really comes back, is that there are positives, there are negatives, there are all those things mixed into it. And that in itself, I think, makes it even more powerful, because you have those good feelings and those memories and so forth that are really very positive. And I think that's part of it, is that, you know, if it was all negative, it would be easy to be able to say, I'm done, I'm leaving, or whatever. Yeah. And because there are so many positive things and connections and, you know, not just family, but friends and everything else. And that's why it is such a powerful, powerful thing.
What are you hoping people take away from this novel when they read it?
You know, I do not write with the intention of proving something or teaching something. I really write with the intention of, I want to give people enjoyment, that it's a novel that has a very twisty, I didn't see that coming ending. All my novels have that. This one in particular does. And I want people to go away with feeling like this was a really good, fun book. I certainly did not go in this hoping to, you know, prove a point. Like I said, I really want them to be entertained and to enjoy the story. So that's really what I hope that they take away from. I believe that the novel is for anybody. This is a mystery. This is a, you know, a novel that should be, I'm told, is a quick read, and something that's very entertaining. And that's really what it comes down to for me. I write because I want people to get the same type of satisfaction that I get out of the books that I read. I enjoy that. And that's what I want them to get out of it.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us today about this. And I will say it is a quick read. So, which I always love when that happens. So,
right.
but Brenda, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure. And I always enjoy talking with you.
We've been talking with Brenda Stanley, writer and journalist, about her newest novel, The Still Small Voice. It is available now. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up?
I've never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.